through. We are broadcasting live this morning from Village Jewelry and Repair. It's on Main Street in downtown Grafton. I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
And we got the owner, Scott Coons, with us. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great.
Thanks for...
What
happened there? What?
Welcome him again.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Turn up the volume on there as well. You turned it down because you didn't want the chimes from going up. We are surrounded by clocks. This is a... I'm getting used to this. When I first got in here, you think you start hearing the bells in your head and little different things like that. You, though, being here for most of the day, after a while, you probably don't hear much of
it. Yeah, we don't really notice them. But I hear, throughout the day, you guys have been talking about all the clocks and the noises, and it's just something that we don't really notice throughout the day, you know. But the reason why they're not on time is because so the chime doesn't, and you mentioned that earlier, so they don't all go off at the same time.
Which clock is the closest to real time?
I think the one on the wall.
The one on the wall, that one's
pretty close.
All right. And that sort of looks like more of a digitized clock or whatever. I mean,
it's a battery operated.
And that has like a little display with sort of shiny glass
pieces.
They're
called motion and music. So they, you know, on the top of the hour, they will rotate and do all kinds of fun stuff and play a melody, and it rotates.
Speaking of fun stuff, you have back there, as Craig said, a cuckoo clock, which I actually is from a customer.
Yeah, it's
right?
it's a repair. Yeah,
and people will bring all sorts of types.
Yeah, we get 100-year-old cuckoo clocks, or you know, all kinds of wall clocks and things like that, and that for repair.
Now, these tall ones are often referred to as grandfather clocks. Are they grandfather clocks? Is that just a familiar term? How did that come to be?
Yeah, I think traditionally they were called long case clocks, but they are commonly referred to as grandfather clocks.
Probably some story somewhere. It would seem like that. And where's the mouse that runs up the clock, right? Dickory Doc, as we
I don't know the origin of the name grandfather clock, but it probably has to do with maybe someone's grandfather.
I would assume they look old for the most part, even though some of these are brand new. They're still making these type of things? I mean,
these are all brand new.
And they come from different...
This is the Howard Miller brand, and they're actually manufactured in Michigan.
Wow. There's a lot of good cabinet makers in Michigan as well. So you have the different clocks here, you do the repair. What's your background in this? How does somebody become a clock repairer?
I started it off at 19 years old at Brandall Jewelers in Elyria, and learned a lot of hands-on things from just working there. You know,
but you obviously liked it. I mean, what was it about it that really?
I really, I really didn't. When I started working there, I really didn't go into the business because I was interested in it. It was just a job for me during college. But as I worked there, I really, really gained some knowledge and love for the business.
Now, doing the kind of that repair, so there's a little bit of a mechanical inclination to that. Do you end up having to take study on that?
It's a lot of just hands-on. Now, if there is a problem, that which is great with the internet nowadays, you can go and diagnose, but a lot of it's just learning hands-on, and believe it or not, even from clocks that are 100-year-old to today, if it's a mechanical movement, they're very similar.
Right. Let's talk about the jewelry here. You got cases of different types of jewelry here. What are people looking to buy these days
that's a good question. A lot of people ask that question, what's our biggest thing that happens, and it's really is spread out, you know, because we'll have people come in for a birthday and they may be looking for the birthstone of that month that the birthday is, and then we do a good business with engagements, so we do a lot of engagement rings, custom designs.
Do you find that some of the fashions or trends, if you will, change over time, and you have to adapt to that as well?
Yeah, for sure. We do try to follow the trends and see what's hot and go with it. But
I was talking to Scott before when you were doing the news over there. Mm-hmm. Pinterest is one of those. I don't know, is that a good or a bad thing? Because you sort of...
Yeah, it's actually been a good thing for our business, because people will find, you know, they will search through Pinterest. And I think, I'm not on it, so I don't really know exactly how it works.
Right.
But I know my wife uses it a lot for things. And people will find designs of rings that they like, you know, and then they'll present them to us as, can you make this, or can you get this, or, you know, I like this style, you know. So that's been a big part of our business in the last few years.
So it's not limited to just what some manufacturer has come up with and what their maybe top five or what they bring. It's from people's imagination.
For sure, yeah. And I think that, the you know, through the years, people were following designers, and that's sort of gone away a little bit, you know, as far as a name recognition on, you know, I want a Tacori ring or something like that, versus, well, if someone sees that, we can make it. You know, so but we don't have to carry that.
You probably learned at some point, even starting as 19, working in jewelry, there's a personal connection to the jewelry, whether it's emotional related to that, or it's also they want something unique.
Right.
There's only so much. I guess everything is like, it's not like a snowflake, but there's something that unique. Yeah. Everyone wants something very special. Right?
Yep. And I think that's what drives the independent jewelry stores. You know, people are looking for something that's different, you know, nothing bread and butter like you'd find at your average mall store or something like that.
Scott, what brought you to Grafton? Why do you like it here?
Yeah, Grafton's a great community. My grandmother lives in Grafton. I grew up in Elyria. My grandmother lives in Grafton. And when I was looking to go out on my own, I wanted to go to a nice small town that, you know, I felt like that would support a store. And I looked around some different communities in Lorain County, and working at Brandall's, you know, at the younger years, we would get customers that were coming from the South, Grafton, LaGrange, Wellington, things like that. So I felt like there was a need for it in this area.
When you had a fire just down the way at Lou's Pizza,
a
lot of people rallied around that business, brought the community together, and I imagine that kind of ties in with what you do here and that you see a lot of the people time and time
again. For sure. Yeah, you just gave me chills with that. But it was sad to watch that happen. But the after effects of seeing people come together, it's really cool. And that's what's great about Grafton, I think.
Talking this morning with Scott Coons at Village Jewelry and Repair, our location this morning. We do our spotlight on Grafton. What other things take up your time here? No pun intended, related with the clock and some of the repairs.
Yeah, so a lot of my time where I'm not working with a customer is sitting at the jewelry bench repairing things for people that bring in that either they've damaged or something has gone wrong with it. And that happens, you know, normal wear and tear, and we can fix it up for them.
What do you recommend for people to make sure that they maintain
their
jewels?
We tell everybody, especially after repair, to bring it in, you know, a couple times a year and just let us look at it. There's no charge for us to look at it, and just we'll do a quick cleaning, make sure that everything looks good.
So what are you looking at when you're seeing?
So a lot of times in jewelry, there's, you know, prongs that hold the stone into the piece. If there's something that we notice that's either bent or worn, you know, or even broken, we can notify the customer. And a lot of times they're really small, so you'd have to, you know, have it looked at under.
How's your vision? Is it
20/20? 20/20.
And you have that thing, whatever it's called, the jeweler's
loop? Yeah, the jeweler's loop. But yeah, that's to get up close, you know. But
wow. So what's the new? You mentioned my style. Is there a favorite cut that people like now?
So traditionally the round cut diamond has been number one seller, and it's still today. But I would say right now number two would be a princess cut, which is square.
Square
cut diamond, yeah.
How much? Doesn't seem like there's enough sides to that to create all of the.
For like a prongs, or what do you mean?
We're just for to get catch the light. And
oh yeah, yeah. The way that they facet them, they do sparkle pretty well. But that's one of the reasons why round has been number one, because it is the most brilliant stone.
Okay,
square. Who knew?
It's princess. Is this like the ones you buy in the gumball machine? That is a big square diamond like looking type of thing? And I'll mention this, Scott, too. Sometimes people will come in and bring things. They don't know what it is, but you can do some evaluations
of
that, too?
We have people that come in, and I was saying almost daily that, you know, either found something or inherited something, and we can identify it for them pretty quickly. And we don't charge for that either. It's just, you know, if they are wanting, you know, if we do see something that we like, wow, this has some good value, we'll do an appraisal on that and get them the information and cost.
Now, a lot of times people have rings that or jewelry that they inherit, you mentioned, and sometimes as we talked about making their own, they want it reset. What are the options for people when they bring a piece, when they have a gem, what can you do with something?
Yeah,
like
sure.
That?
That's a big part of our business as well, as, you know, if someone inherits something, maybe it's out of style, or, you know, maybe it's too worn to be worn, and we can take the what's good of the ring and put it into something new. And that's usually the whatever the customer's taste is, we can get them real close to what
they like. Do people wear pendants anymore?
Yeah, absolutely.
Still? Yep. So you can put it on something like that?
Absolutely, yep.
Just to make it, keep it, but in the way that they want to use it for
absolutely.
That. What about the secondary jewelry market or whatever? People have ones that do you have things like that? Or people say, I'm not, you know, you have ones that you know, there's new and then there's sort of new to you. Kind of thing.
Yeah. So we do deal with some estate buyers where we have things that are previously owned or very old. And what we do with those is we make sure that they're, you know, in very good condition. If they need something to make them in to be, you know, resaleable, we'll fix them up and make sure that everything's good. But we do have a nice selection of estate jewelry. We call it estate jewelry that's been previously owned. And the thing that's cool about that for customers is you can find some really nice bargains in that versus brand new retail.
Any gems that people are appealing to right now, rubies or the emeralds?
Yeah, like I said, usually it's a lot of that's based on the birthstones.
Okay.
So a lot of that has to do with, you know, what
and you've
month.
Got that memorized, right? I throw a birthday out, you'll know exactly what it is.
I'm pretty good at that.
There are some stones I don't even know what they are sometimes, right?
Yeah.
For that. But
and that happens with even us. You know, there's so many different things out there that, you know, that you'll see, and we have to try to identify them.
Right. Pearl. Do you want, what month is that?
June.
It's my wife's month, by the way. That's how I know these sort of things.
Okay.
I kind of get off a little better with a pearl than I can if there's other months depending on
The ones that come in that are you know, like May is emerald and July is ruby and April's diamond, those are the most expensive months.
Family planning should go into this sort of thing if you're thinking of this with the future for that. And you could use your clocks for any other methods that you so choose. But I know you're a big sports fan too.
Yes.
What did you think of the last night's game?
Yeah,
it was
great. It's great to get a win. Baker's making us a little nervous, I guess, right now. So
people are wondering. I mean, it was a win, but yet they're sort of. I think what happens now is the other teams have enough film on this guy from last year when they're in the middle of the season. You get a replacement, they're not worrying about it. Here's a team that hasn't won much of anything. Yeah. Why either devote it? They've got all summer to plan against it.
You know, they're blaming some on the offensive line, and I'm watching it. I just feel like he's just a little hesitant right now. But
there is some incredible stat out there based on last season and this season so far. When he's had two tight ends on the field, or even sometimes three, he is much more effective when that happens. And the Browns now this season have been going many more times to a one tight end setup.
They're stacked in receiver, wide receivers, because of
that.
And now Njoku had
the yin and the yang.
Don't you think tight ends are more like extra linemen, though? I mean, there's a little bit.
That's the idea.
To say
held
that.
In for blocking,
and then you just get them dumped them out.
Yep.
Well, we'll see.
It's time.
I saw yesterday Greg Williams talking into his papers. He does this. Greg, I should do a show like this. I could just hold it up in front of my. Don't I look like a coach now?
You look good. Yeah.
I could just hold this up and talk and say things. See? Freddie Kitchens, on the other hand, had his mouth wide open, blah blah blah, all the time when he did a split screen. This is the key to winning: talking into into paper.
Huh.
Maybe they're like those kids in eighth grade that are sniffing the mimeograph papers. You know, maybe there's some little.
I miss those days.
Greg, yeah, I do too, as well. Well, things have changed. Times have changed. Yeah. When you're working with these clocks, I came over there before, and you were winding or testing. He has clocks you repair, and then you have sort of like a testing area that you have them in there. What's the best care for this? I told Craig, always go forward. You got to move the hand forward, right?
Yeah.
Is that still?
Yeah, so if it's a mechanical clock, if you're moving the time forward, you want to stop at the point where it's going to chime. So if it's a clock that chimes every 15 minutes, you want to stop every 15 minutes, let it fully chime.
And then if you're winding it, don't wind it too tight. Right?
Sort of a myth. You can wind mechanical clock all the way tight, and it does have a stop on it.
Okay.
And really to break it, you know, you'd have to put a wrench on it to break it.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a myth, but a lot of people come in, I wound it too tight, you know. Well, that really is not the problem.
You're wound too tight. That's your clock. That's the problem with that. Well, people can come by and see you guys' website, too, as well,
yeah.
for people to look
yep.
at. Yeah,
villagejewelry.com.
And people can come out and see you. Scott Coons, our host this morning, as we spotlight Grafton Village Jewelry and Repair. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Worker strike at GM, and ABC's Alex Perez is in Detroit.